All right, all right, all right. Welcome to Live Free and Ham Stream. I'm Eric, call sign N1JUR. Tonight, we got a bunch of regulars. And as we kind of alluded in our thumbnail there, we're going to be doing an AMA tonight. So we're going to let you guys on the chat ask us anything. And if not, we're just all going to sit here staring at each other. So, you know, you decide how this is all going to play out. But as I said, you know, you guys have the floor, so feel free to ask us anything. If not, we're just going to probably talk about some great POTA activations that I know a few guys, you guys have done recently, and, you know, just kind of see where it kind of goes from there. But without further delay, like I said, I'm Eric, call sign N1JUR, and you're with Live Free and Ham, and I'm with...
Hey, it's Paul, KF4TPY.
Mike, N2MAK.
Cool. Well, hey, thank you for joining us, Mike. You know, are a little short-staffed here. Todd, who will be joining us soon, he's running around with the kiddos doing a few things there. And Ryan, as we mentioned in other podcasts, is currently flying. So, good to see you there, Kevin. That's awesome. So, you know, feel free to, you know, jump in here. But you know, we don't really have a format. This is, again, like an AMA and a happy hour. So we're just going to kind of hang out and talk about POTA and ham radio and anything else that kind of, you know, leads us down those good old rat holes there. So, you know, kind of with that, I mean, I think the big thing right now that seems to be hot in the chat is, you know, that do we now have to start styling our park activations with shirt and ties? I mean, you know, Mike is kind of setting precedence here, and I'm getting a little nervous because, you know, I'm just getting into the t-shirt gang, and all of a sudden I feel like I'm behind. So, you know, you know, I don't want to take Mike's thunder on the video there, but I think, you know, that was an awesome video, and I was pretty impressed, obviously, with the attire there. But, you know, what was the, you know, your take on that one? You've been getting a lot of, you know, flack for wearing a tie.
I mean, everyone's got their sponsorship deals. They get, you know, they talk pods, TID radios, gigaparts, you know, and stuff. So I mean, there's nothing left. So, I just roll with JCPenney, you know, what do I know? You know, but, no, I was, I do a lot of traveling this time of year. I'm in Rochester, which is Western New York's, the Finger Lakes region, but I'm out and back to the Albany region, quite a bit the first quarter of the year. And, you know, I had an opportunity to hit up a new park, and I went straight from meetings. I thought about going to the hotel, right? And, because my car was parked right there, I could have gone in and changed. And I was like, you know what? I don't have much time. This park closes at sundown. And, you know, I try to be responsible, especially when I'm going places I don't know that I had never been to this park. And, I got there and I probably had like an hour or less realistically. And it was enough time to do, you know, 30 minutes on the air, quick setup, takedown. But, you know, I'm glad I didn't change because number one, it's definitely attracted a lot of attention. But ultimately, you know, I got a chance to do a POTA 3-fer. Plus, it was an island. So it was actually one of the U.S. Islands for the U.S. Islands Awards program. So, you know, there's a lot of people, including those in POTA, that aren't just hunting parks. They're hunting islands and stuff. So it's always fun when you can, you know, combine multiple things. I've done some POTAs and SOTAs, you know, and stuff. And it's nice when you can hand out multiple references to people. Cause you know, without the hunters, you know, we don't get to some of the things that we do. but yeah, I've done that like a handful of times. You know, it definitely prior to, cause I've only been doing YouTube videos for a year now, but, I've definitely done it, you know, a number of times where I'm traveling and I got an opportunity to stop off at a new park. I was chasing, what did they call it? The 100 unique parks. And I got that back in the fall, but you know, and anytime I was on the road, work, family, always look for an opportunity where I could, you know, sneak in a new one. And, you know, I don't usually have a lot of time for activations anyway. I'm squeezing it in between work and the kids. And so, you know, if I got to go, you know, I took my suit jacket off at least. I mean, the weather's nice, but, you know, I could do without that. And whatnot, but yeah.
I was thinking maybe if you're like, you know, going for a different demographic or trying to create your niche market, maybe you just change ties and kind of get like a creative Christmas ties at flashlights and like stuff like that. You know, Canada antenna might be the new thing with a tie. You know, you never know.
Yeah, I was joking in the chat on Clubhouse last night that you need to get one, you know, like the Ham Radio Rookie's got the Faraday antennas made out of the Faraday cloth. You know, I'd love to get a Faraday tie, you know, and maybe, and even if it's for just like 1.25 meters, I'll actually put a tie to work if it does 220. Trust me. Like,
nice. You know, that's a good idea. Now you got me thinking.
I don't know how healthy that would be for you though, to transmit on a tie that you're wearing.
Oh yeah, I know.
Yeah. That would be an oopsie.
Yeah. Sure. But there were some jokes about, like, you know, maybe I'd do a bolo with some coax and like a connector to, you know, hold it together and stuff, you know. At the end of the day, it's a hobby and this is fun. So, you know, as long as everyone's out there having fun and getting a good kick out of it, that's all that matters.
If you're okay, man, I might actually have to take this and run with it a little bit on my next video when I do another POTA, and it's going to be, you know, kind of going really crazy. It's like, how do you know, use a tie in emergency, you know, kind of situations, and, you know, will it antenna will be the next few videos. That'd be really cool.
Yeah. And, you know, so, you know, with this a tie, Kevin mentioned this, I've been out in the sweater vests before, you know.
That was sporty. I agree. Yep.
And it's not, you know, I'm not the only one though. Simon, VA7BIX, he does a lot of, POTA and live stream. I think he's out, at a park live streaming right now. He's gone right from gigs, you know, and he's done activations where, I mean, he looks like a Bond villain almost, like, you know, and stuff. And he's like, you know, borderline tuxedo in the back of what looks like a Jaguar. And it's like,
oh yeah.
You know,
he's a character for sure. I love him because I bumped into him when he did a live stream, and he, like, in between, he was playing saxophone, or no, it was trumpet, I think it was. And I was just like, what this guy's got my attention. And I can't, it's like a slow moving car wreck. You just got to keep watching the whole entire time because you never know when it's going to, you know, something's going to change or happen. So it's pretty cool. So I guess from the, like, so here's my thing with IOTA is, like, we did a 7 Park Rove, Todd and I, a while back, and we accidentally came across a park that was also islands on the air, and we were only alerted by one, you know, contact. How many IOTA contacts did you make? Did you keep track of that at all? Or,
well, it's not IOTA, and the first time somebody reached out to me about when I was going out to do a POTA, and I scheduled it in advance because it was something that had been activated often and everything. And usually, if I'm doing rare ones like an AT&O or something like that, I'll schedule it on the POTA app. I know in advance before I'm going out somewhere I've never been and that hasn't been done before. Other ones that have been done plenty of times, like where I was the other day, like, you know, I get there when I get there and I'll spot myself. But, and I initially signed up for IOTA. I thought it was IOTA, but there's IOTA is different. And, the U.S. Islands Award Program is what it's called. And it's a lot more lax as far as what needs to be done and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone that I contacted, you know, if they want to claim credit, kind of like SOTA, you know, they got to submit it. You keep track of it on your own. It's really low key for that. So, and the difference, like the U.S. islands, they're obviously U.S. islands, but they can be, based in a lake, which I did one, back at the end of the summer, early fall, that was a rare wildlife management area in the Finger Lakes that was an island on Canandaigua Lake, and only accessible by boat, obviously being an island. This one is a river island. This was in the Hudson River. So there were bridges to get over there, and it was real easy. But U.S. Islands Awards Program is fun. It seems kind of low key. I don't pay too much attention to it other when if I'm going out to a park and I know it's an island, because this one, Peebles Island, it's in the name of the park, right? Like I did a quick Google search and I was like, okay, the island numbers, you know, NY027R, make a note of it with the park numbers so that when I get there, I'm good to go. And if people want it, I can hand it out to them. And if they don't care, they don't care, you know?
Yeah. Well, hey, it was good to see you on the stream there, Kevin. Yeah. Glad to have you join in. I love making contact with his QRP net, and I, you know, I try to get on there from time to time. So, thanks for joining in, Kevin. The funny thing with IOTA, like, I never really, As with all of the other parks, is like, and beaches on the air is another one too. And because, you know, I'm on the East Coast, you know, that's like, there are beaches everywhere you go. And so I started to kind of dive into that program a little bit, and I got really turned off by it because it just became so much of a burden to kind of be part of it that it was like, I'll just go activate on a beach and not really, you know, make a big deal out of it. But, you know, is that kind of your feeling with IONS on the air too, or was it more just, you know,
no, when I found out about it, I was like, oh, okay, this is just like another thing. What I've done and what's made, you know, ham radio fun for me is combining POTA, which was, you know, my first thing, my big love is POTA, but combining it with other activities. And so whether it's, I've done some joint POTA sodas, obviously POTA with some of the US islands, but also going out, like I do the VHF contests in January, June, and September, and I'll go combine that with POTA or soda. And I look for ways to combine things, and it makes it a little bit more fun, but it's also a good way to learn too, like doing the VHF stuff. I've learned a lot about, you know, bands and modes that I, you know, would seldom use for typical POTA activations and stuff. And it keeps it fresh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's actually funny. Is the whole thing with the, like, I saw your video when you did on the VHF contest part of it, and I was like really kind of inspired. And then I remembered as I did a couple of them that you know, overall we just kind of around, at least in the New England area, 5.2 tends to be pretty dead in general. And, you know, the only really you can kind of pull, like, the only, my success for that stuff was, you know, hey, hop on the repeater, see who's there, you know, put a word out, hey, come over to 5.2, work me, kind of thing. And so I felt that, you know, that was a lot too much effort, but you did an awesome job like that. I mean, you kind of worked it with the contest too, that was going on at the same time, right?
Yeah. Yeah. The last one I did, I didn't do any HF. I just did, you know, 6 all the way to, you know, 70 centimeters, what I had, you know, capabilities for. And there's a big active VHF group, and we're not the only one, but we got a good size one here in Western New York, and it spills over into Southern Ontario as well.
Oh, nice.
And so, you know, and all that's like within easy range, even at, you know, 705 QRP levels for doing 2 meter, 6 meter sideband and stuff like that. And it teaches you things about, you know, how important an antenna is. Like I started off using dipoles for 2 meters, but then when I got the elk log periodic, you know, you see a difference that, you know, an antenna with gain that's got some direction makes and stuff. But there's an active group out here, and there's always lots of things going on. We have regular weekly nets on 2 meter, 6 meter sideband during the week. So there's always people locally. If I hop on 6 meters at a park, I can probably at least get one local if I wanted to. It's nice, but I know that that's not the case. You know, it all comes down to location, 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 and some areas geography is going to work against you with VHF and UHF, and also just like ham density. You know, if you don't have a lot of hams or there isn't a lot of interest in a particular region, then it's, you know, it's too bad. You know, it's not going to work.
Well, you certainly got me thinking, because so I've been planning the family. We're taking our annual trip down to Florida in April, and so we're stopping in D.C. so we can go see the sights in D.C. But we're also going to stop at the Chincoteague Island Wildlife Refuge there in Virginia. Yeah. Okay. And so I told the wife, I said, listen, I said, I don't care. We can go wherever you want. We can stop wherever you want on our way down to Florida, but I want at least a couple parks along the way so that I can get a couple more states activated. And so so I should be able to get Virginia activated and North Carolina activated in April. But being an island, you know, that really makes me, I'm going to have to look into that. And welcome, Todd.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. A little late night. I got here as fast as I could.
No problem. We'll ask him, make sure all of the AMA questions are directed right at Todd, and you can bring it towards him.
Well, I was able to check
the first one.
I was able to check in on our net too. So I'm like, hey guys, I'm almost home. One and done tonight. Gonna doing a live stream. So
cool.
And I pulled in.
Go ahead and read it, Todd. Go ahead and pick it up, Paul.
Yeah. So Jeff wants to know, what would you suggest for the best telescopic mast? Ooh. Now, that's a question that I also would like the answer to, because I've been weighing, you know, the Soda Beams versus, you know, the DX Commander, and you know, there's a couple, you know, really well-made telescopic masts. So what are you guys using?
Ooh. Okay. Well, I'll take that one, but that's kind of a loaded question. But I guess my question, and I always do this, is I'll throw a question back to Jeff. What type of activating are you going to do? You know, are you more of a Soda guy, or are you more of a POTA guy, or are you just looking to, you know, are you setting up in park areas, out in the beach, open areas? Throw that in the comments and I'll kind of add to it. What I use, I've got two masts. My big, you know, behemoth mast is my DX Commander. Was that 17 meter or 20 meter? I can't remember exactly what it is, but that's pretty much the same mast that's in the Expeditions and the classics and stuff. And then I have a smaller version with my beach kit, which is more of the Soda Beams Soda 6 mast, which is super small, super light, only like 10 meters. And that one's a little, you know, you have to be careful with what antennas you use with that, because you can snap it much easier than, say, like the DX Commander.
Yeah, I got three different actually four now. So my first one was plus the one. MFJ 1910 or 19 something or other. It's a 33 foot or 10 meter mast. And that was the first one I got. And so it'd be like 3-4 years going now. You know, that works fabulous. You know, the challenge with that, and it's light too, but it's held up, you know, northeast winters, everything. It's not going to collapse down to a length that is as packable as what I have, the Soda Beams Carbon 6. And that is in my, you know, it's in the side pocket, the water bottle pouch for my 705 bag. That thing, that'll fit in luggage, like carry-on luggage, or and it's stupid light, and it's convenient to carry, you know, and stuff. But you know, the difference is when I'm going out, if I'm using an off-center fed dipole, or I'm using a dipole that's center fed, you got to use something that's got, you know, some heft to it. You know, with the MFJ, I won't put it. And if you watch some of my videos, I talk about the setup. I'll say, you know, it's a 33 foot mast, and the antenna is going most of the way up, but not all the way up, right? Because otherwise, it's going to flex too much, and I don't want to deal with that. But what I got in between, though, is I also have the Soda Beams Tactical 7000 HDS.
Oh, okay.
That is. You know, so the carbon six is going to be 6 meters, so like 18 feet or something like that. And that's good for verticals, you know, wire verticals. I've got like 20 meter, 17 meter wire verticals, you know, short random wire, or, you know, sloper end feds. But the tactical, that packs down small.
Oh, yeah.
It is heavy and beefy. Oh. And that thing is just like it's definitely strong. And I got that when I started using more dipoles and off center feds, which it was like a couple of years being a ham before I put up a dipole. And that makes it nice, because when you have the coax hanging down, you know, it definitely adds weight, even like, you know, RG174 or something, it'll create that much more flex and bend. So I've got those three, and they each have their own place. It's like antennas. When I find the perfect mast, then yeah, you know, I'll stop buying them, but you know, I haven't found the perfect one yet. And I haven't used the DX Commander, but I hear the DX Commander mast, you know, from everyone, they rave about it and stuff, and the build quality and everything. I've used the Tactical 6 or whatever, which is the heavier version of the Carbon 6 and stuff. And that's good. It's small, but it doesn't have the height of the 7000. So.
No, yeah. And the end of it tends to be a little thinner than I like. And I've already broken mine off at this point for the Carbon 6. And so, yeah, don't use a heavy antenna if you possibly can, and try to stay away from it. But, you know, if you can leave it loose, and you got a good, you know, place to either mount it, either tie it, lash to a table, or you got a good stand, I think it'll benefit.
Yeah, we'll snagged for Black Friday one of the Gocher telescoping, like fishing things.
Yeah,
I snagged that on Black Friday, And those go on sale, really good prices, Black Friday, the Amazon Prime days, you know, Christmas in July, whatever, like, sale, if you can wait. I figured, you know, for like $25-$35, you know, to have another option, it'd be worth it just to toy around with. And I've used it a few times, you know, it's fallen over, it's held up. But you know, like with the carbon six or some, and almost any mass, like those last couple lengths are, they're really thin. So they might say it's a certain length, but you're not going to be able to take advantage of all of it.
Yeah. I've got the 7 meter, Tenkara fishing rod, you know, and it works, right? But you certainly, you probably lose at least 3 feet at the top where it just bows down.
Yep.
Cool. All right. Well, hopefully, Jeff, that gave you a little insight there. He obviously mentioned we do POTA, and I think we kind of did, you know, we probably all do more POTA than we do, you know, soda. I know I don't have the, you know, six pack for soda quite yet. So working on it, but we'll eventually get there someday. So
Dave wants to know if it's practical to do POTA QRP on single sideband.
Oh man,
I just did it.
Yeah, Mike, you just had a recent one, right?
Yeah, I do it all the time. You know, with anything QRP, you'll learn. You know, definitely antenna and setup, and it's your whole station. It's, you know, your feed line, your setup, you know, the antenna that you're using, all that stuff matters. And, but I've done activations. I've done it with, I've done a couple 1 watt sideband activations, which I've done one with, watt? I did it with, I did it with the Coffee and Ham Radio's Mercury linked dipole. I brought it out, did a 1 watt activation in 1 hour on 20 and 40. I tried 10 meters for a little bit. It wasn't open at the time, but you know, I easily got like 20 contacts in an hour with 1 watt sideband. And then I did it with the N9 SAB off center fed dipole. And I did the same thing, 40, 20, or it was like 40 minutes on 40, 20 minutes on 20, and then 10 minutes or whatever the math works out to. I shouldn't math on stream. And I've done well, you know. It's not always going to work out because you got to think about band conditions. You're not going to want to do a 1 watt activation during a heavy contest weekend or field day or something. Because like you know, operating QRP, you can get chased off frequency pretty easy if it's busy. But you know, if you go out on a quiet time or during the week or whatever, you might be surprised. You can, you know, hold the frequency a little bit easier, and if you got a good setup, you'll get it done. POTA is so popular now compared to even just a few years ago. It's almost hard not to get a park activated if you get there and you remember everything.
Funny story is like I used to get worried that like I couldn't get spotted if I had no cell service, and now I don't even care. Like if I happen to remember that I spotted myself, great, because like, as you probably already experienced yourself, Mike, and all you guys as well, is that, you know, give yourself a couple of shout outs a couple of times calling ZQ, and you'll see how quickly the next hunter would be like, yep, I'm gonna spot you, and that just opened up the, you know, floodgates. So
yeah, well, unless you have an activation like I did yesterday, right? Because there is zero cell service at this park. Like, this park is kind of like the middle of nowhere. Like, the truck is covered in mud. There is zero cell service. So I just go and I hope that somebody is going to spot me. But I want to say, I think I started calling CQ at like around noon Eastern time, and I didn't get spotted until like 1:30, 2 o'clock.
Whoa.
But you know, I mean, it is what it is. You just keep calling, you know, people scroll in the dial, eventually find you, but it makes it a little slower.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it's true. I mean, but that compounds, I mean, obviously when you get into like, you know, where the band the band's kind of just up and down or just really staticky, or, you know, 20 meters is just, you know, no matter what you get, it's, you know, it's just noise and not actual like people talking. And that can be stressful and painful, but yeah, those are the life lessons you learn. Like, you know, Mike said, you know, running at 1 watt, you learn how to perform well with your antenna and the gear you have. So, you know, the days that are really good, you know, they are just much sweeter. So I think there was another one in there. Tim, you had a question there. Did we grab his, where did I see it? KC1QDK. I missed it. So anyway, talk a little bit about your POTA there while I'm looking for that one. I'm curious to see. You just did that, what, yesterday, Paul?
Yeah. So, and interestingly enough, the contact count was way lower than normal. I finished the activation with 57. But truthfully, I was out there doing a dual purpose thing. So I was testing my new solar power setup and whether or not it'll provide enough power to potentially charge the laptop as well, right? And that's kind of what I've been working on this week. And, you know, so I wasn't super worried. You know, I mean, I was calling CQ, and then, you know, like, I'd take a break, I'd mess with the solar panel, and then I'd call CQ again. And then once I got spotted, people were rolling in. But yeah, I mean, as long as you're out there and you're having fun, like, that's what matters.
Yep. Big old FUN. Cool. All right. Well, I found that question with Tim. He was talking about, his question was, is an Islands on the Air hunter responsible for logging the contact, or is it like SOTA? You know that answer, Mike?
They keep track of it for the US Islands program. Yep. Okay. Yep. I think the only thing, and I haven't had the opportunity to do this yet, but there is a process for qualifying an island. So, and that's when it's done for the first time. There's some restrictions then. That I think the activator has to do. I don't think I've been in that situation before, at least not that I remember. Yeah, so, but other than that, it's kind of like, so I think it's like, you just keep track of the stuff on your own, and that's it. It's, okay. It's pretty low key, but.
Now, and so from that standpoint, both people have to submit to the program in order to be able to get credit for that, or is it just personal logging and, you know, the contact confirmation?
No, it's you just keep track of this. There's no submission of the logs or anything.
Oh,
like you keep it on your own. Yeah. Yeah. Like an honor system.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's not like the POTA website at all.
Man, that kind of just disconnects the whole like camaraderie of like, hey, I hunted you, you worked me, and, you know, hey, let's, you know, keep, you know, making contacts. Yeah. You know, that's kind of a bummer.
Yeah. No, most of it, like, they've got, you know, they got like a Slack channel. And so when I've done the last two island activations, I've posted right in the Slack real quick. Hey, I'm heading out to, you know, this island, and you know, look for me on the POTA spotting site, and that's that. And you know, let the guys know, and they keep track of it. And
that's what I'm gonna have to do when I go down to St. John, the U.S. Virgin Islands. Three quarters of the islands is a POTA park. So every beach, basically every beach, there's basically two towns on it. St. John's about 9 square miles, and three quarter of it's a national park. And yeah, it'll be, it's also an island. So I'm guessing I could probably just call out IOTA POTA.
Everything except soda, pretty much.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's some peaks on there too. So who knows? Maybe I can go take a hike and get all three at once, but I don't know. I'll have to do some research before I go out there.
Cool. I think you grabbed that question for Bill there.
Yeah, and cool. It's a confusing thing. And in my video, I think I corrected myself on the screen, because I kept saying U.S. Islands on the Air, but it's technically U.S. Islands Awards Program. You know, and I got confused the first time I heard about it. And, you know, I was signing up for IOTA, and little that I know, it's like, nope, that's a completely different thing. You know, there's so many different on the airs, but yeah.
This one, I don't know if Mike can answer directly. It might, you know, reveal his location, but.
I wish I was in this cabin, man. Yeah, I did, you know, and Michael's out here in Rochester with me. We've done like a lot of POTAs and sodas together, but no, man, I'm just in the basement with a weak green screen. That's all.
Very cool.
Living the dream.
Well, that's what we all do, right? We're hoping for the big one, big score.
Yeah.
Cool. So funny is, like, Paul, you mentioned you were going down to Florida in April. I got something scheduled probably like beginning of March. I'm actually doing I convinced the family for a road trip, because it's baseball season for the son in college. So he's on a road trip all the way down to North Carolina. It's about North Carolina, and then he's driving down North Carolina via the team, and then driving all the way back up and playing baseball everywhere and anywhere. So I convinced the family, and before I even can get the words out of my mouth, my wife's like, well, how many POTA parks do you have on the route going down? I'm like, funny you mentioned that. Well, like, when do we want to really leave? And so we were kind of talking about, you know, the time frames and schedules. And so it's benefited me at this point now, because she's like, well, we need time to just stretch and stuff. So as long as I plan those routes, so I hit like one state every way down, you know, I think I'll be in good shape to be able to, like, you know, add a few to the states list there in my POTRA awards. But, you know, I, you know, the only drawback though, is I looked at the radar and the forecast, 7-day forecast going forward, and it's supposed to be rain. And I'm like, why rain? Come on. I don't want, like, you know, of course, but it wouldn't be any different if it's baseball, right, Todd?
Yeah, exactly. Well, listen, if she doesn't want to go, I'll be glad to take her place. And, I'll go activate parks with you down the East Coast.
Well, it's not that she doesn't want to go to the POTRA park. She wants to go to the baseball stuff. So, like, if I could figure out how to fly her direct and she could just sit with the bus on the team, you know, she'd be happy. But, you know, I've got, you know, another agenda, as they say. So keep an eye on me in the spotting page for that, and then Ham Alert. So I'll, you know, hopefully be making a couple of contacts with anybody and anybody for that matter.
Yeah. How far south? When will you hit your new state? Did you do New Jersey yet? Or
that's a good question. I've done. Oh no, actually, I don't know if I've done Jersey. Let me go while you're kind of.
You could probably get New Jersey. You could probably work your way over to Pennsylvania. Then you could do Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, North Carolina.
I'll be right back. I'm going to check on my boy.
Sounds good. Yeah, I have not done Delaware. I've not done DC. I haven't done Connecticut, and that's sad because I have family down there, and I could probably activate relatively easy. Maryland,
I got New England before you did. That's pretty amazing.
Connecticut's technically New England, man, if you look at the map.
Yeah. It's a New England state. You can't say it's not.
Well, you know, in my map that I look up, it's not. But anyway.
Only half of Connecticut, right? Because the other half is like New York. You know, they're like Yankee and New York fans, and then you got the New England fans. It's like the state split in half.
True.
The northern half is, right?
Yeah, it is. True. So the farm with there, I didn't think I had Rhode Island. I'm like, I've been down to Rhode Island 3 or 4 times to, you know, visit my son for college, and I know we activated. So, yeah, I got that at least. So, you know, that's sort of technically New England.
Right. Yeah, well, I don't have New York yet, so, but I'll be getting that this summer for sure.
Hey, Rob, good to see you.
You're
going to
be in the Cooperstown area, right, Todd?
Yeah, I forget what the town. I gotta look up the town, but he's got a Memorial Day weekend is a tournament, so we're gonna be down there like the whole weekend. So I'll let you know when it is, and I know there's some parks around there, so I'm gonna at least activate one.
There's no shortage of parks in New York.
Yeah. Well,
you got to do a little bit more work to make sure it's not like a twofer or a threefer, and some of the locations depending where you are, but. Yeah, let me know, even let you know if there's a twofer or threefer to look for.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I did. Izzo was telling us there's a park that basically runs up the Connecticut River all the way from Connecticut all the way New Hampshire, Vermont. It's one huge park, and I did one in Vermont, and I did it as a twofer, and it was actually a threefer. Is this it is? He's like, oh, you got to look this one up, and I looked it up, and I'm like, the it's huge. It's like the whole Connecticut River, and then on either side, it just kind of goes all the way down south to Connecticut. So you always have to check that out, because, you know, when you go on the POTRA map, it doesn't say, oh, you're, by the way, in two, because the little dot is like way down in Connecticut. But when you click on it and you see where it is, it's the whole. So, yeah, definitely have to look into that.
Yeah, there's a really – we have a very long, large park in New York, the Erie Canal Way National Heritage Corridor. It's Kilo 6532. And I actually live in it. It span, like, most the Erie Canal goes, you know, pretty much across the state, along, if you Interstate 90, the New York State Thruway. And it's a nationally designated park, and it includes pretty much all the towns that the canal passes through. So where you think of a trail in POTRA, you know, you think of it, you just got to be 100 feet from what the trail is. But instead of this being a trail, it's a corridor, and it has a map and the boundaries, and the boundaries are, it includes multiple towns, multiple counties, just like the Adirondack State Park too, which is huge. And it creates a ton of twofers and threefers, and it any of the local town parks in my town are in the corridor and, mm-hmm. and would therefore, you know, qualify and stuff. With the park I was at yesterday in Albany, in the Hudson River, the island one was in the corridor. So it's massive and it's nice. We're fortunate to, you know, have those opportunities, but, it's tricky. And I found out about twofers and threefers, you know, after activating someone lets you know, like, oh, by the way.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, you know, it's funny is like when you get like, you're doing an activation, you get a park to park and then they've got like two or three guys and then you've got two or three guys say, and then they all, it's like multiple parks. It's like you're logging. It's like a half an hour contact. Yeah. You got to log every single person, all three of their parks, all three of your parks. And oh, it's crazy. And then hold on, I got a second. Oh, so do I. Like I've been in that situation where I'm like, holy, it's a lot. I mean, you end up getting like 20 contacts and you're just trying to, you know, to work. Oh, Ryan just, he got on. He's down in Australia. So Ryan,
where's his little finger? Where's his phone finger head?
Yeah. Come on, Paul. Yeah. Come on, Paul. Get it up there. He's checked in.
Got to include it. There we go. Hey. Oh,
it's Ryan. It's Ryan.
Thank you, sir.
Very cool.
Thanks for joining us, buddy.
Yes. Hey, what, you were like, what, noontime there or something like that?
The next day.
Yeah, the next day, exactly. Oh, cool. Hey, I did see Matt's chime in there, N3 Van. And yeah, I will hit you up if we go through Pennsylvania, either on the way back or on the way down, because we got a little time in the schedule. So I'll be in touch with you to see if we can get that twofer together. Cool. All right. Well, so any more kind of questions going on? If not, I see Rob in the chat, 741. Glad you're on there, Rob. So I guess kind of from a standpoint of, how to phrase this. So, you know, we kind of actually talked a little bit of some of our POTUS stuff. I mean, obviously, it's getting warmer weather now. And I know, you know, the next couple of days are supposed to be pretty good in terms of stuff. And you guys got anything lined up going forward, or you got anything on the plate you want to get done? I mean, Mike, you traveling a little bit now still, or are you back home?
Yeah, no, I'm traveling. I'm going to be out in, where am I? See, next weekend, I got to go out to Ohio.
Oh, wow.
And then I got to be out to Cleveland, come back, and then head out to Albany. So it's like, I'm going to go three and a half, 4 hours west, drive home, drop stuff off, head out, you know, 3.5 hours east, be on the road a lot.
Oh my God.
It's like full circles. I've already done Ohio. So, and I'm going out with a kids basketball team. It's a trip for the kids. So it's, and I'm not going to squeeze anything in other than like when I'm at hotels, I always try to do APRS, WinLink and stuff from the hotel quick, you know, nice. just practice, you know, like programming a repeater manually, yeah, just make sure I keep, you know, some of those things kind of fresh. I think it's always like a fun exercise and it doesn't always work out. But you know, it's good practice.
Well, the failures are the types that you learn from, right? Yeah. You know, successes, you can only do so much before you get nothing done.
So Mike has a question that says, if you can bring one radio and one antenna to a park, what would you pick and why? Boy. So I'll start with this one. If I'm driving to the park and I don't have to hike anywhere, I'll bring my DX10 and my Buddy Pole Pro. If I'm what?
I was surprised, but anyway, go on.
Why are you surprised? That's my surprised antenna.
The DX10 piece, not the antenna.
Well, I'm saying like if I don't have to hike anywhere or if I'm working out the back of my Jeep, you know, that's a great radio, but it's a little bit bulky. If I'm going to be mobile and I have to walk, like say to the beach or leave, you know, a couple, you know, I got to walk about then obviously the 891 and my, my backpack, my to-go bag with my POTA bag, you know, it's one backpack, throw it on the thing. It's got everything in it. It's got the antenna in it, the battery and the 891. So that's what I bring. That's what I think is a good one. And, I think it's a good pick.
Okay. The DX10 is a little iffy for me, but you know, I agree with everything else.
We've used it.
I know. I get it. You know, and that's, it's a good radio. I just, you know, I'm just not my go-to if I had to bring one radio, one antenna. But anyway, if somebody else could pick it up and I'll throw in my, you know, two cents of the ring after.
Coming from the guy that has his DX10 all set up and you're ready to go at the park.
Anyway, another story, well, another time. All
right. So for myself, right, I mean, I've taken the 7300 down to Florida. I've activated parks with it. It's not a ton of fun. It really isn't. It's such a big radio compared to the 891, which is my POTA radio. So I don't know. I would say the POTA radio with the Reliance NFED half-wave, it's the smallest form factor that I can get, you know, and that's, to me, that's what it's all about.
Okay.
I don't want to lug a big heavy radio.
Yeah. So the flaw in Todd's, you know, kind of, you know, pivot on what he wants to bring is that 9 times out of 10, where are you going? If you go to a park, you know, then yeah, the DX10, I would say sticks out. No problem. Like I would take that just in a heartbeat because, you know, it's a good radio and we've done it before. And, you know, the, back to your point of our seven Park Grove, it was flawless when we needed to use it. But you know, if I'm going to a park, I've never been to, I'm in an area I've never been to, you know, I'm going to go with the 891. Like Paul said, I mean, my 891 is just, it's reliable. It's set up the way I like it. It's pretty much a flip go-to, you know, radio, and I can get my setup done and deployed in 5 minutes or less. And the antenna is kind of questionable for me. It's like, because I can go buddy pole, which I haven't really used a whole lot. I mean, it's still, it's in my POTA box, but it's not in my POTA kit. So I don't usually take it with me. But I'm a big Wolf River Coil guy just because I love that antenna and I've had really good luck with it. So I'll do that. But even so, if I'm going to a place I don't know and I'm really kind of packing light, you know, and we've got to create a little soundbite for this one, but you know, I think it'd be my 891 and you know, a certain bug out antenna by a said you know, Reliance antenna. So that has been, you know, a phenomenal antenna for me, and you know, one of my favorites so far. I mean, the hardest part for me is just trying to find a good mast for it, but that can easily be resolved with like a.
You're the most amazing guy.
There we go. so you know, that's definitely one of my go-to. So my antenna would be definitely Res if I was going to a place I had no idea and I needed something to get up quick and go. And then the 891 is you know, the tried and true there. So
yeah, I agree with you that the 891 I've done 90% of my POTAs on. So I took the question as not like what's the most compact or your go-to. I'm like, if you could pick one, what would you bring? And so I'm thinking, like you said, a park that I'm like the rail trail, like I'm been there a ton of times. I know exactly where I'm setting up. I'm bringing the DX10. But if I was trying a new park, you're right, the 891. And that's a, you know, those of you who don't have that radio or are just looking to get into POTA, it's a great radio. Yeah. I mean, it is for POTA. It's 100 watts. It's never let us down. I mean, I thought mine was on the spits, like it was turning on and off. And I found out my battery was dead, you know. And then I'd plug it back in. It'd come on for a little bit. And then I'm like, oh, crap, the battery's dead. But it's a great radio, and it is compact, and it does, you know, like I said, it fits in a nice little day pack, you know, a school backpack kind of size, and you're good to go. So, and it's pretty hefty. I mean, Eric and I put what do we put? What are those, like metal guardrails? Oh yeah,
the guardrails. I forget the manufacturers, yeah. But don't get the plastic ones.
No matter what Zero.
Yeah, thank you.
Portable Zero.
Yeah, and we tried doing, like, we had someone 3D print them, and right, or Eric took it on, like, the first trip, and it was broken. I'm like, you must have had a defect one, and then I took it on a trip, and mine were breaking left and right, and then we're like, yeah, we got to get the metal ones. So, mm-hmm. But, you know, you put that, it protects the knobs, and like I said, I just throw it in the bag, and it's been fine. It's pretty heavy duty for radio, and it's pretty rugged. So definitely in my opinion, it's probably the ultimate POTA radio for all things. And that's why I keep asking Yaesu, and if anyone from Yaesu's here, I want an upgrade, you know, I want a DX10 mini size or right. Mm-hmm. With 100 watts with a waterfall and everything.
All right, Mike.
I'm going to be that one out. So I'm not going to say the Yaesu. I'm going to go with the 7300 if I'm picking one radio. And you know, because I'm picking one radio, one antenna, I'm going to go with the 7300 because if I want to run digital, it's a heck of a lot easier with the ICOM versus the ASU. And I go back and forth, and I like to do both things and stuff. And my first radio was G90, and that was, you know, a whole bunch of cables and finagling to try to get that to work with WSJTX and everything early on. But, you know, you can make it work, but it's so much easier with the ICOMs. So I would pick that. And I have the 7300 and the 705. I'd go with the 7300 because, you know, it's more juice. You know, you got more power. You don't know what to expect. But the tuner, and I love using, and I don't use it all the time, but I love that it has the emergency tuner feature on the 7300. You put it in emergency mode, it's going to limit it to 50 watts, which is more than enough for portable, but you're going to get like a 10-to-1 plus, you know, tuning range. And if you need it, you know, and you want to make that 80 meter, you know, NFED work 60 meters or something like that, you know, you can do it. I've done it. And, you know, I've done it just to get a couple quick park to parks on 60 meters or something like that. It's nice to have that option. But for the antenna, you know, we encounter all these things like, oh, can we put stakes in the ground? Can we put wires in the tree? You know, can I activate from the parking lot? How much space do I have or not? And, you know, I said it in that last video, the Wolf River Coils was my first antenna. It's a good antenna, but what really makes it a great antenna is the flexibility for deployment, because I use it on a mag mount. I use it on the tripod. I've got one of those clamp mounts that I just clamp onto the picnic table or a fence post and do it that way. And, you know, it's not going to perform as well as an NFED, you know, or dipole or anything like that. And I love using wire antennas, but it's a nice option to have if you don't know what to expect, because you can put it up a couple different, you know, ways, and you can work multiple bands and stuff. But I said earlier with the mass, the same way with the antennas, man. If I find the perfect one, then I'll stop buying them. I'll stop making them. You know, I just got
the
NFED random wire from Matt. I just bought the Reliance one, like after the live stream we did a week or so ago. And I'm debating on, you know, what length I want to do. And I might even do a linked random wire with a few different lengths, like 29, 41, and 71 and stuff. We'll see. But, you know, I operate portable. I don't have anything at home. I don't have a permanent setup. So everywhere I go, there's different opportunities and challenges, and you just got to be able to adapt. But 891 is a great radio. G90 is a great radio. 7300, it's heavy. I use it portable a bit. You know, I'm not going to do a soda with it, but.
Well, okay. So, but like, so when you say portable, you're doing portable mostly from your car, right? Like in that sense with the 7300? Have you done any
car picnic table? Yeah.
Okay.
But I call it one of, you know, the ham wagon. I got one of those collapsible carts from Lowe's, and you know that, you know, you see, you know, the soccer families, you know, carrying, they got the camping chairs and all that stuff. And, you know, I'll hike in, you know, short distances with, you know, a fair amount of gear that, you know, more than I totally need if I need to. But ultimately, like, the 7300 stays in a Pelican case, or not the Apache one, the knockoff from Harbor Freight. And it's bulky, it's heavy. I use the 705 more probably because it's everything, including antennas and the mast, is all in like a nice backpack. And it's just grab and go. It's good radio. And I've used the 891 a few times too. It's nice.
Yeah, you get an 891 too or no?
I don't know.
It's okay. So, all right.
Cool. I've used it from a few others that have had it. And it's like the form factor. When you look at the size of that compared to, you know, like what I'm used to with the 7300, it's like night and day. And I mean, if they could just, you know, like, I wish Yaesu was watching and listening now, because, like, you know, to update like the 857, 891, or, you know, because I do like all band, all mode. And the 857, which had VHF and UHF, you know, if there was a new version of that coming out that had a built-in sound card. I don't need a waterfall, you know, especially for mobile or portable. But you know, you have something like that that's all mode, all band, built-in sound card. it can, you know, work the hell out of the ATOS, which can still do, you know, 2 meters and 70 centimeters, but you're not going to get that with an 891. I mean, that just, I think the POTA people would just eat that up.
Yeah. Bro, POTA is getting so popular, like you said earlier. I mean, I can't imagine that all these companies aren't looking to kind of, you know, get into that thing, because I think people that are doing POTA are going to, you know, they're looking for better radios that are more portable, that can do a little bit more stuff, a little bit easier menu. Like, my only downfall with the 891 is like the menu is ancient, right? And it's not easy to kind of navigate. I mean, it's doable, but it's not as user friendly, right? But like you said, I've got it set up where I really don't use any of the, I mean, I have what I need to do pretty much. I don't never have to fiddle with it, because when you're out there doing a park, you know, you're pretty much, you're either hearing it or you're not. So, but you know, any of these companies, like if they took like the 705 and they somehow got more like made that into a 100-watt radio, like I'd switch. I'd buy that.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that, Mike, because like I feel like the Yaesu camp is all about like, I want it to look like the 705, but I want it 100 watts. I could care less about Fusion. Don't put Fusion in it, please. We beg you, don't put Fusion in it. But at the same time, like, you know, having all mode, all band is like, it's my frustration that, you know, and I've said this several times, it's like, Yaesu, stop making the 710 the field radio. It is not a field radio. It's not it's a 710 home base station. Stop putting the word field in front of it and making it, you know, playing it up from a marketing perspective like it's a, you know, it's a great portable radio. It's a big radio, and you know, it's a great one. I'm not going to deny it, but you know, at the same time,
you're not throwing it in a backpack.
No. Right? Yeah, you're definitely not. Not for the investment. So
that's where if I want to take a shack in the box out into the field, it's the 706 Mark IIG.
Yeah, you know, I would say that
it's compact. It's not much bigger than the 891, but you've got the added versatility of the UHF VHF.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wish we would see more of those.
We better. I mean, that's the only way that the radio hobby can stay alive, is they start iterating and making, you know, if they look at, you know, if they ignore POTA and they're just like, you know, whatever, we'll just keep producing what we do. It's just a, you know, it's kind of a slap in the face a little bit, but at the same time, it's like also like, you know, the people that are making those decisions are, you know, they need a change in the regime, I guess, to, you know, kind of stay with lockstep with that stuff. But let me get off my soapbox here for a second, because I'm going to go on and on.
The one thing with POTA too is that if you look, it's getting more popular like overseas as well. So we're getting, you know, like it started in the United States, and now it's like you're starting to see more and more parks pop up. I'm starting to hear more and more people activating, you know, over in Europe. You know, I mean, I even got a park in New Zealand, which is, you know, kind of crazy. But I mean, I think as it grows and it gets more worldwide, I think you're going to see, I think the companies are going to have to start really not ignoring it or not addressing it and say, okay, we've made enough base stations. We need to start focusing on this mobile stuff. And I think they'd probably make more of a profit, because I think most guys that are in hams, they already got their base station, and it's not like they're going to be going out and buying new base stations every time a new model comes out. But more less affordable, like not like a cheaper radio cost wise and portable, mobile, smaller. I mean, look at HTs. Every time an HT comes out, there's like half the hams are buying it. So maybe that would happen with the POTA, you know, community, that if a new radio came out, people might bag it and then have a couple of them, you know, have a couple of of portable radios that they might have to pick from, for depending on what they want.
Interesting.
Well, speaking of the newer radios and stuff, you know, I hope that, and I know it's expensive as hell, but I hope that the new Kenwood HT is selling well, because I want them to continue to, you know, come out with new radios. I think they alluded to maybe dropping a mobile radio, a new version of a mobile radio next and stuff. But you know, I do want more people to have 220. So I do want, you know, more people with a tri-band.
Yeah.
But if I hope that they're successful, you know, because I want to see competition. I want to see if it's just going to end up being Yaesu and ICOM. going back and forth, you know, that's a challenge. But when you have the G90, you know, that was something that was a lot in an affordable package. It was my first radio, and you got 20 watts, a tuner, and a scope, which at $400 was like unheard of. And, you know, and that helps kind of push, I think, some of the other manufacturers. You have the, what is it, the FX4 CR now, 20 watts, and a redonkulously small form factor. And it's phenomenal. It, you know, 20 watts and built-in sound card, you know, you SDR, don't get the tuner, but you got the built-in sound card. All that, like, that's great, too. Like, and, you know, and hopefully, you know, these things like help push the others, because we don't get new radios every year or all the time from the big manufacturers. But hopefully, you know, the interest that, yes, you know, like the FX4 CR and stuff have seen, like, you know, help kind of drive the need for these radios that are smaller form factor or are more affordable, all bands, all modes, all these different things.
Like, technically, with that FX4 CR and a dipole or a wire antenna and a small battery, I mean, you can literally have a whole HF setup in your front pocket. Like, really, I mean, that's pretty amazing.
Really pocket size.
I mean, that's crazy. And that, and I've seen yours, Eric. That thing is just awesome. I mean, I was shocked how it's well built. It's sturdy. It's not like cheaply made, and it's got that, it's got everything you need on it. It's just amazing. So, like, I mean, he's got it. He says, hey, this is my beach poda setup. And I was like, what are you getting? I had no idea what it was. And then I saw it. I was like, oh, I'm like, that thing is awesome.
I did say that. Now it's on YouTube. Thank you, Paul. yes, I will let you borrow it and let you drool over it and then realize it's on Titanium.
Competition's a good thing. It's good to have choices for everyone's style, everyone's price point. But competition's good, and we see it with, we've talked a lot about the Wolf River coil. There's no shortage of coil antennas out there now. And that's a good thing, you know, that there's like that innovation, and some of them, it's just like a really uber premium build quality. Others, it's going to be, you know, it's going to come down to the durability, or it's going to come down to the bands or price point, things like that. But it's good. Like, I want to see that competition, because it's going to, there's going to be more options for people.
The only thing, just quick sidebar with that, is that I, like, at least in the space I see, and I kind of see this like very big divide. Like, you've got the big four or big three, however you want to slice it. I mean, they do their own thing, and they kind of do it, like, at least my opinion, in a vacuum. And a lot of times they don't take a lot of feedback per se from the, you know, the populace and just our, you know, community as a whole. But then you've got all of the smaller crew, like you were talking about, like the Res Antennas, the, you know, the Wolf River Coils, the FX4 CR guys. They tend to be a lot more agile to be able to adjust to the needs or the demands. And a lot of times they're very much, you know, already in the thick of it. I think, you know, if Yaesu spent more time, I mean, obviously we're a small market space, so they've got, you know, we're not going to be like the loudest voice, you know, that's going to be mobile, marine, and all of that stuff for them. And you know, the public safety stuff. So, you know, we're not going to be the voices. So a lot of the stuff, but yeah, I know exactly. Right. but at the same time, you know, it's, you know, they shouldn't dismiss us fully. I mean, they should be really kind of thinking like, hey, reach out to those folks. I mean, the YouTube community is huge with like people doing reviews and stuff. I'm sure they'd be like, yeah, here's the top five things we think you should do. You know, go, you know, do one of the four at least, you know?
Yeah.
And so.
Well, you know, Eric, I think too is like, with the technology and the availability of it, I mean, look at the people that are private, not huge companies, coming out with really good products. You know, I think you're going to see more of that. You're going to start seeing people who are going to come up with designs, you know, like, you know, even like the Res antenna. I mean, that's a fairly new antenna, and I don't know how long it's been around, but I keep looking at that thing. It's a lot of money, but it is such a, it's like a work of art. It's so, right? Have you seen it, Mike? It's just I'm like, I want that. Like, that
is Ryan, can you drive over to Todd's house and just move his mouse over and press, you know, pay? He's having a difficult time.
But you'll start to see, like, even like, you know, Eric, you're in your little radio there that the guy, whoever built it in wherever he's from, where's he from, China or something?
Japan.
He created that. He took the time. He developed it, made it. And now, like, you can't even get it because everyone wants it because it's such, you know, and he made a good quality piece. So yep. maybe we'll see some of that. Maybe we'll get some really engineer type POTA guys that are like, you know what, if they're not going to build one, I'll build one and I'll sell it on Etsy or something.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, look at Corky QRP. He doesn't sell a radio whatsoever, and he's super popular.
Yeah, he's got some good stuff on there.
Yep, that's for sure. Cool. All right. Well, you know, we're getting kind of a little bit past the hour here, so I don't want to cut into too much time. But thank you guys for all, you know, participating. We love the questions. Are there any other last kind of AMAs that we want to questions out there, Paul, that we want to kind of throw in the ring before we kind of put our last 2 cents in and wrap things up here? Yeah, nothing I can see. Nope. Looks like everything's pretty clean in the chat. Yeah, exactly. Last call. CQ, last call. Gotta have it. All good. So yeah, with that, you know, it's been fun. Mike, thanks for coming on. You know, this definitely. Is coordinated in the background. We're glad to have you on and always enjoy your company and insight. Definitely show the love here to Mike, to his channel, and check him out. It's Mike N2MAK on YouTube. And as always, you know, you've got the Lifrine Ham Gang here, myself, N1JUR, and Paul's got his channel going there. Todd just started too. So, you know, definitely go over here and like his. He's got no videos yet, but, you know, surprise him, give him at least, you know, 10 followers. So, you know, maybe he can.
See how many followers I can get without a video.
Yeah, right before posting the video. Yeah, right. It'll be viral of no videos whatsoever.
Working on it. It'll be coming up sooner than later.
Very cool. All right. Well, cool. So I guess with that, we'll kind of wrap things up. So as always, just in closing, you know, thanks for joining Live Free and Ham, our live event for February. So I appreciate all the love there and the 17 folks that have been on here and the likes. So definitely keep it coming. And as always, if you haven't subscribed to our podcast, you can head on over to Live Free and Ham and or on any of your, you know, we stream on every pod platform. So give us a quick look and show us love and subscribe. And if you feel so led, you know, we've gotten a few, but, you know, feel free to leave a review on iTunes or head over to our website and comment on any of our previous shows. And we're always on social media. We're on Instagram and Facebook and YouTube. So make sure you're part of all of those channels to stay on top of all of the action that's going on. We've got some great shows that are coming up soon. So, you know, make sure you subscribe to that feed and listen in on it. And with that, you know, if you want to contact any of us, obviously, Mike, how can they reach out to you if they need to or want to?
I'm on Twitter on social media, but it's my last name, which is Kenner Connect. So if you can spell it, like, then, you know, you're like the amateur extra of spellers. Like, but you'll find me by, you can just find me a call sign on Twitter and then just the YouTube channel, Mike N2MAK.
All right, very cool. And as always, you can find all of the hosts here, Todd, myself, Ryan, over on livefreeandham.com. And with that, thank you guys. Oh, yeah, we got, you know, Ryan, and we're going to have to improve our marketing budget here to make sure we have actually, like, you know, bigger, you know, finger foam sticks with Ryan or something like that. We'll keep working on that idea. So with that, as always, thanks again for watching, and 7-3.
7-3, see you guys in March.